May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. I'm wondering why I can't sing the hymns this morning. It's all that hi-ho silver lining last night, isn't it? There we go. I was writing my sermon this week in the midst of Sky News telling us that Hamas had sent rockets off into Israel and Israel was sending missiles into Gaza. And it looked like there was a huge conflagration on its way. I'm not sure they're talking about truce this morning, aren't they? Whether that peace can be brokered, I don't know. But when you look at the problems over in that part of the world and the potential for nuclear weapons and coming in from Iran, and you just wonder what on earth is going to happen, and the potential for an enormous, great military operation out there and more death just seems incredibly... we all pray that it won't happen, but you do, when you hear this, when you hear rumours of wars and do not be alarmed, you think of Jesus speaking to people then, and you speak how clearly those words come to us today. And you think, what on earth does he mean? Do not be alarmed. Let's just think about what was happening in this passage. Jesus has gone into Jerusalem with his disciples. It's Mark 12. And one of the first things he does when he gets to Jerusalem is he goes and into the temple and he throws all the tables everywhere and he attacks those people who are selling pigeons and the sacrifices and things. And then, do you remember, he went and he cursed a fig tree. And he said the fig tree doesn't bear fruit. And that was sort of like a prophetic... Well, there are two prophetic actions, aren't they? They're visual aids. As if... when we use visual aids today, this is Jesus using visual aids. When he turns over the money, he's saying, I don't like this whole system. You know, when he attacks the money changers and everything in the temple, that's a visual aid to say, this is horrible. And when he curses the fig tree dies. That's because the fig tree symbolizes the temple and all that it's come to mean. And he's saying, you know, you should have borne fruit and you didn't bear fruit, you're cursed. And so Jesus has this real venom against the temple, the cultic ritual, everything that was going on there. And you can imagine how he felt. And then he's with his disciples and they go in the temple precincts. And the disciples say, wow, what a fantastic temple. Look at all these wonderful stones. And you can imagine how Jesus would have felt. And that's why, you know, Jesus says, not one stone here will be left upon another. Everyone will be thrown down. You can feel his anger at the whole system that was there. From the disciples' point of view, they went in and they looked at it. And they saw this magnificent temple. And it was truly magnificent. They started building it before Jesus was born. And they kept on sort of adding to it and making it more opulent. And it was said that you could see it from miles away because the temple was covered in sheets of gold. So that when the sun shone, you couldn't look at it because it was like looking into the sun itself. That beautiful marble. And these stones, the Jewish historian at the time, Josephus, he tells us they were 40 feet long and 18 feet high and 12 feet wide. When they built the temple, they built it on top of a mountain. Instead of leveling it, they just built around with these huge stones on top of Mount Moriah. They built this fantastic temple. And, you know, people who came to see it, they must have been completely spellbound, as the disciples were. But Jesus saw it to symbolize something that was really rotten about religion and the way in which it was operating. And, you know, it was made to look beautiful because it was meant to be the place where God dwelt. And Jesus saw it as being anything but the place that God dwelt. It was a symbol and a sign of the exploitation of the people, the impoverishment of the poor, those people who were getting fat, whilst others were, you know, having punitive 50% taxes and living in abject poverty. Jesus saw this as one of the worst things, not a symbol of God's presence at all. So Jesus says that it's all going to be torn down. And the disciples, again, just failing to realize what Jesus was doing and the message that he was giving. And Jesus says, it's going to be a terrible time. Many will come in my name claiming I am he. What is Jesus talking about? This was written, let's say this was written about 80, 30 something. This was spoken AD 30 something when Jesus was alive. The Gospel of Mark was written about AD 66 to 70, somewhere around that period. At that time, this was starting to go on. The Jewish rebellion against Rome, the Jewish-Roman war, was in progress. Jerusalem was laid siege to. And this protracted war went on. And eventually, after various emperors had died and new ones had arisen, eventually, in AD 70, Titus came from Rome with about 66,000 soldiers, laid siege to Rome. It's said by Josephus that 1 million people died, either by starvation or the sword. 97,000 were captured and taken away. Apparently, Jerusalem was turned into a bloodbath. The stories that come out, Josephus writes about a woman roasting her baby to eat. It was the stories which are told about it are just blood-curdling. And Jesus is talking about this time of destruction that will come and how dreadful it will be. And do you remember Jesus said, flee to the mountains? Because what everyone did was they went to the city and they all got killed. The best place you could possibly do was to flee and to run away. So Jesus is talking about this horrendous, dreadful, terrible time that will come. And what does he say about it? What does he say? He says, do not be alarmed. What a strange thing to say. Do not be. In the midst of all, I was thinking of someone who died this week, Clive Dunn, from Dad's Army. And I was thinking of his catchphrase. You know, do you remember his catchphrase? Don't panic. You know, don't panic. And I thought don't panic didn't quite do for me. I wanted to think of something better, so I came up with another little. Instead of don't be alarmed or don't panic, what could you have? Go on, Colin, you can think of this. Put your thinking caps on. Instead of don't panic. Oh, thank you very much indeed. And yes, keep calm. Keep calm. I've done some of these posters for you this morning. You can take one home. Keep calm and trust Jesus. This is the message. This is the message from the passage this morning. You all remember this post. This was from 1939, from the Second World War, and the idea that kind of makes it look official with the Tudor crest at the top, but it was to kind of help people to, in the midst of turmoil, keep calm, keep your nerve. And that's what Jesus is saying here to his disciples. You know, they're saying, look at this brilliant temple, the system, it's just incredible. And Jesus is saying, look, the whole thing's going to collapse. It's going to come crashing down. Even these stones that you think are so solid, they're all just going to be laid waste. Times will be incredibly tumultuous. We think today we live in turbulent times, don't we? And I certainly do. Things seem to be changing all the time. Things that you took for granted aren't there anymore, and new things are coming along. I mean, incredible to think that you can follow this war in the Middle East on Twitter. You get Twitter feeds from Hamas and the Israeli Defense Force. It's just incredible. The kind of world that we live in, which is so fast changing, that the very foundations seem to be shaken. And in the midst of that, we have this message: do not be alarmed, keep calm, because God is with us. And, you know, this is apocalyptic, what Jesus is talking about. The language which he's using is apocalyptic. It's end game changing. And, you know, we live in apocalyptic times in many ways. And each one of us faces different kinds of apocalypses. At times when our life seems to be in turmoil, when things just seem to be shaken to the core. And the message is, keep the faith, keep calm, trust in Jesus. The message that God does care, that he's with us in spite of appearances around us. The unexpected might happen, but keep calm and trust Jesus. Amen.